Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. I'm excited about having Richard DeKayser back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Richard's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's Senior Vice President and Chief Economist at National City Bank, based out of Cleveland, Ohio, and he's our good friend. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And folks, many times on the show before, you've heard me talk about the quality of our Brain Trust members. And we do have high-quality Brain Trust members, no question about that. And you've heard me make comments such as, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. And Richard, something you were recently recognized that by USA Today, the national newspaper, with something that I'd like for you to tell the audience about what they said.
Well, if you insist, you're dragging me into it.
I insist.
Yeah, they do an annual ranking of forecast accuracy for each calendar year. Yesterday, they released the results of their evaluations for 2004, and I ranked fourth out of about 45.
These are your peers, economists across the nation.
Right. These are most of all the familiar names in New York, and mostly large banks and industrial concerns, and a couple academics throughout the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
But my boss was actually sort of disappointed because that was down from number three last year.
So you were number three last year, number four this year, but out of 45, you were in the top five. And if I'm not mistaken, you were the only person in the top five to repeat in the top five.
That is correct, yes.
So ladies and gentlemen, as you heard me say a minute ago, no chopped liver on the Small Business Advocate Show. Only the best for my audience. Richard, I'm really proud of you, and I'm not the least bit surprised.
Well, that's very kind, Jim. Thank you.
Congratulations. We have a nose for excellence around here, Richard. We don't invite you back if you don't have your cornflakes together.
Oh, I'm not going to argue with you, Jim.
Richard, today is the day that the Fed meets.
That's right.
And I should be more accurate and say that the Federal Open Market Committee of the Federal Reserve Board meets. There are as many as 19 can be in there. The 12 governors, the 12 presidents, the five governors, and then the chairman and the vice chairman. I think that makes up the 19, doesn't it?
That's right. The way it works is there are seven governors. They always have a vote, and then they rotate the 12 presidents in five at a time, making a whole open market committee total of 12 voters. But in reality, it's much more inclusive than that, because even those who don't have a vote, they have a seat at the table, their voice mm-hmm. is heard, they express their opinions, and the opinions matter. So
right.
There's a lot of clout even to being out of the loop as far as voting goes.
Yeah, the 12 governors, they get to vote every third year, I think.
That is correct.
They rotate off. Okay. Now,
well, the presidents, the governors are in permanently. Yeah.
Right. Just the bank presidents. So, what about, over the last couple of years, Richard, things have been not really all that exciting about what was going on in those meetings. I remember in the late '90s and early 2000s, we had an awful lot to talk about during when the Fed was meeting for their FOMC meeting. But last year or so hasn't been all that exciting, but now things are starting to heat up a little bit, isn't it?
Well, that's right. The reason, I think, for this, Jim, is that if you go back a year ago, interest rates, the federal funds rate, the principal rate that the Fed uses to affect the economy was just 1%, which in a 2% inflation environment meant negative in real terms.
Right.
So starting last June, they basically closed their eyes, stepped on the gas, started a sequence of interest rate increases, a steady drumbeat, a quarter point each meeting. They've now got us up to around 2.5. It'll be 2.75 by the end of the day. And so now we've gone from negative to marginally real, that is to say interest rates are above the inflation rate, and it starts getting into a more ambiguous zone here. It was pretty clear that they had a lot of room to move, but now that they've made that move, at least in part, they're going to be a lot more reliant on signals from the economy, what's happening with inflation, what's happening to growth. And I think that for that reason, we'll likely see at some point in the second half of this year that steady drumbeat turn into a more intermittent experience. And I'll just quickly add that we've been down this road before. Last time the Fed had a major interest rate increase campaign was 1994, and it started out exactly the same way, little baby steps in regular frequency, and then after a while became much more data-driven, as they say, and you started seeing them maybe take a month, take a meeting off with no actions, and then maybe come back and not a quarter point, but a half point. And in fact, there was even one interest rate increase of 0.75 percentage point. So there's some precedent for what they're doing now, and I wouldn't be surprised if sometime soon we see them make that transition.
Richard, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Folks, I'm going to, when we come back, I'm going to ask Richard, if it doesn't seem like the Fed knows is a roller coaster with regard to their policy, and I'll tell you what I mean by that right after these messages. 20 Tales, stay with us.
I'm alone in the dark.
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Richard DeKayser is our guest. He's Chief Economist with National City Bank and one of the top economists in the nation. And that's now, actually it's been known for a long time, but it's now redocumented this year by U.S. News. By USA Newspaper. Richard, I alluded to the roller coaster a minute ago, but I also want to use another metaphor. In aviation, When your airplane is rolling and you know it's nose up and nose down and nose up, we call that porpoising, and it's a very unstable, a very dangerous condition to get into when your airplane is doing that. And it seems to me if you go back to say 1999, and you look at how the Fed raised rates to cool off the economy, and then lowers rates to heat up the economy, and now are lowering rates again. Basically, if you plot that over a 5 or 6 year scale there, a basis there, you'll basically be drawing what we might call a roller coaster of rates, or in, as I say, in aviation, porpoising. Either way, it's kind of it seems to me that it's almost out of control. What do you think about that? Are you there, Richard?
What's that?
Yeah.
Let me just preface what I'm about to say by acknowledging that it's tough to be a Fed governor. When they get in the office, I notice that there tends to be a chastening effect. There tends to be a conservatism. There tends to be a sensitivity to the most pressing moment or issue of the day. So having said that, I'll then give you my outsider's view, which is that I think, in fact, I call it attention deficit disorder. That is a focus on one issue above others, then flitting off to the next. Alan Greenspan has referred to this as a policy of risk management, meaning that the Fed focuses on what they perceive to be the paramount risk and focus all their artillery on that risk until they have to move in the other direction. Now, if you go back to 1987, we had a stock market crash of enormous proportions. Greenspan acted with alacrity. They reduced rates very aggressively, very quickly. The economy stabilized, and I think it was a huge success. At the same time, I think
they did the same thing. Pardon me, they did the same thing in '98 with the long-term capital management thing.
Right. Well,
in the fall of '98.
My point was about to be that I think that it perhaps inspired an excessive sense of confidence and an excessive sense of tinkering with the economy. In 1998, there were, in fact, some problems. I would not at all put them remotely on the same scale of the stock market crash.
I agree. I agree.
But the Fed, again, focusing on the principal risk in its sights at that moment, cut rates, not quite as aggressively, but significantly. And it had the effect, in turn, of, in my view, contributing to the stock market bubble that ensued in the following year. There was a sense in financial markets. They called it the Greenspan put, that bad news would be met with interest rate reductions, which in turn would basically guarantee easy money. I think that there's been excess in both directions, both in terms of raising interest rates when they're focusing on inflation and cutting interest rates when they're worried about slack in the economy, I would endorse a more stable monetary policy, and we may still get that. You know, at this point, they've largely been spending the past year reversing the extraordinary ease, again, interest rates in negative territory for a couple of years, and they're in the process of putting us back into something that I would call neutral, but it remains to be seen whether they now again go over the top. I don't think they're even close to that at this point.
I agree, but where they go with this, that's what we're going to be watching. They have an opportunity, I think, in the next couple of meetings to sort of level off that roller coaster a little bit. And aren't they also talking about, aren't they making those kinds of, saying those kinds of words that lead us to believe that they're going to be focusing more on inflation and less on events?
Well, yes, more on inflation as a precondition for raising interest rates or the pace of interest rate increases. You know, what we're going through right now is not at all unfamiliar. The last time the Fed was on a major interest rate increasing campaign, they followed the same path. It was 1994. They started out slow, small increases, and then gradually picked up the pace. So I think that we're heading in the same direction, and they themselves are telling us in their periodic minutes and so forth that they view themselves as entering a phase of being more data-driven. That I think introduces a little bit of uncertainty, but they've done a good job in the past of transmitting their intentions, and I think they'll try and continue to do that.
What does all this mean for the economy in 2005?
Well, I think as far as monetary policy is concerned, it's very good news for 2005. And again, I want to emphasize that even though I think the Fed is going to continue to raise interest rates and do so throughout the course of the year, bringing the short-term rate that today is at 2.5% up to 4.5%, 4% by year-end, would still, when looking back at 2005 as a whole, would still be a year of low interest rates. You know, people have gotten so accustomed to where we've been over the past 3 or 4 years that they forget, if the federal funds rate, for example, hits 4% by year-end, as I expect it will, that would still be lower than it was at any moment during the second half of the 1990s, mm-hmm. during which time inflation was essentially the same as it is now. And we mentioned the October of 1998 when they started reducing interest rates from 5.5% to 4.75%, which was mm-hmm. at that time viewed as low. So I want to emphasize they're raising rates, they're doing so deliberately, but even if they meet my expectations, it's still going to be a year of low interest rates.
Richard, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to ask Richard to help us understand the impact of oil prices on the economy and what he thinks we should be looking at in our budgets for the rest of the year with regard to petroleum. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Richard DeKayser is our guest. Here's Joe Cocker to take us out. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. The small business advocate, Richard DeKayser, is our guest. Richard, give us National City's website, please.
Sure. www.nationalcity.com. And we're located throughout the industrial Midwest, from Michigan down to Kentucky and Missouri, and from Illinois to Pennsylvania in the East.
And you write an outstanding financial market outlook is the title of the publication that you publish once a month. And we can find that on the website, right?
Yes, you can. If you just take that nationalcity.com and append /economics towards the end, I've got a website. It's got forecasts. It's got commentary. And if people want to sign up for online email distribution, they're welcome to do so.
I encourage you to do that, folks, and you can take advantage of one of the top the perspectives of one of the top economists in the nation, Richard DeKayser. Richard, I'll tell you what, before we go any further, how much do you think the Fed is going to raise rates today?
25 basis points or 0.25%, and the reason I think that is clear, they've been using this code word in their various announcements, measured pace,
right?
Which has been taken, I think, correctly to mean 0.25%. That is the smallest change that the Federal Reserve has used in recent years. They've done 0.5%, 0.75%, or 0.25% at different points, but They used that phrase at their last meeting, and they have been repeating it in public pronouncements, so it seems to me that that's a no-brainer.
You don't think the economy, that they need to send a message with a shock raise of a half point?
No, I don't. I don't. Again, they're on this pace of, let's put it this way. After today's action, the federal funds will be 2.75%. The inflation rate underlying that is about 2.25%. That means
right.
It's positive about a half a percentage
point. They're starting to get above, into a correct relationship with inflation, aren't they?
Right. Now, the normal spread there is you typically have this federal funds rate about 2 points over inflation.
Right.
Which would be around 4 to 4.5%. And I think they'll get there very easily over the next 6 to 12 months.
Right.
So I don't think there's any signs, at least I don't see signs on the radar screen that would warrant an urgent action. And
right.
The deliberate pace is probably healthy for a variety of reasons, including giving financial markets and financial market participants a opportunity to adapt and change their investment strategies accordingly.
Richard, isn't the real culprit right now with regard to inflation, petroleum? Aren't most other commodities pretty much stabilized except for petroleum?
That's right. Petroleum has been the, to me, a surprise after hearing you heap all this praise on me. I'll own up to a little humility, which is that this was totally unforeseen by me. We've actually had improving fundamentals with petroleum.
And in fairness, by most other people, too.
Okay.
Including this outstanding economist that my audience knows how good my economic forecasts are. It surprised me too.
Yeah, I don't think too many people have been on top of this one, but we've seen about a $15 per barrel bump since the start of this year. It's huge, and it's interesting because it's not reflected in fundamentals of supply and demand. Actually, globally, we're seeing an improving situation. Inventories are rebuilding. Now, this is in contrast to where we were 9 months ago when there was scarcity.
But so, I also read the other day that gas companies, petroleum companies, are flush with cash. Are they gouging us, Richard?
No, I don't think so. They always, every time prices go up, they receive that accusation. But petroleum markets are still sufficiently competitive. You know, each time usually what happens is there are congressional hearings and people pound the table in order to appease their constituency. But after the investigations are conducted, they come away pretty clean. So I don't think there's any gouging going on. I think that there is some market power concentration that is in the hands right now of OPEC in particular, to a greater extent than it has been in the past. And it's going to take a little time for a greater diversity in oil supply to non-OPEC producers, and that when we have that, it'll be more competitive at the production stage.
I predict, though, Richard, that we'll never see below $40 a barrel again.
Okay.
You disagree?
I'm actually targeting back to the mid-30s, but that
really
wouldn't call that a huge difference.
All right, we'll see. We'll see about that. But I can assure you, folks, my prediction will not be in the USA today. By the way, Richard, talk to us. We've got about 30 seconds left. What do you see for the rest of the year as far as the economy is concerned?
Well, I'm very optimistic, Jim, with respect to the U.S. economy. I've got GDP growth 4% overall. Normal is somewhere between 3 and 3.5, so above normal growth. And for a variety of reasons, interest rates, as I mentioned, are still low in spite of what's happening. We've got increased job creation, and wealth gains have been up hugely in the past couple of years. That's going to help consumers and businesses, in addition to enjoying a low interest rate environment, are seeing easy access to credit. They themselves have a lot of cash on hand, which is good dry powder for further investment spending.
Right.
And lenders, frankly, are beating each other over the head with sticks.
There's still plenty of money out there. Yeah, I think there's some bad news that we have, but I also think there's a lot of reason to be positive, and I appreciate it. Thank you, Richard, for being here. We'll see you next time.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
Richard Acaser, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.